I always love Advent because we get to include families and children, young children. It's always special. There's always a special memory from each of those weeks, so thank you all. Our scripture lesson comes to us this morning from the Gospel according to Luke, and I'll be reading from chapter 2. I'll read verse 8, and then we're going to skip down to verses 15 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And then verses 15 through 20. And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. When the angels had left the shepherds and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has occurred, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add blessing and understanding to both the reading and hearing of his word. Well, as I said at the beginning, 10 days until Christmas. So I hope that you have checked off many of the items on your Christmas list by now. And if not, good luck. It's that time of year. It's crunch time. I remember being a parent of two little boys, then eventually three, but two little boys in the mid-1990s, and the toy that was all the rage that year was something that I had not really thought too much about. But it turned out to be the toy, and it was a red stuffed animal. When you squeezed it, it laughed, and it giggled, and it moved all around and shook. It was called Tickle Me Elmo. It was from Sesame Street. Now, Patty and I purchased this gift, and we were planning to give it to one of our two older boys for Christmas. But in that particular year, parents on the black market were willing to pay over $1,000, seriously now, for a Tickle Me Elmo if they did not get one. I thought about it for a second, and then I said, no way, not happening. So one of the boys got Tickle Me Elmo, and it was enjoyable for a while, and then it was very annoying after that. So I'm asking you today, what do you think the toy will be this Christmas? I know millions of parents across this country will be fixated on getting the toy, that special gift for their children, that special gift for their grandchildren. That'll be just the right toy that will light up Christmas morning and be so exciting for them to open and to play with. It is always hoped then that that toy will bring much excitement for weeks, if not months, to come, and that it won't end up somewhere in the back of the closet or at the bottom of the toy chest just days or weeks later, which often is the case. Just think about the gifts that you've purchased over the years, the gifts that you've been given through the years as a person. The interest that they had, perhaps on Christmas Day, for maybe a day or two later, and then after those months and years to come, they just become part of the stuff that you've accumulated. We have reason for hope at this time of year, and if we are honest with ourselves and we know what God's Word has to say, we really have reason to hope all year long. But Christmas provides for us that opportunity to restore that hope, to once again realize that the foundation of our hope is built upon Jesus Christ. The first Christmas present, the first Christmas of which we read this morning, we realize there that Christmas is different. That first Christmas gift and first Christmas present was so different from what I've just described. The problem with toys is, and the problem with things are, that they don't hold our excitement for very long. You know, even when you buy a new car, that newness wears off after a while. Or when you've taken a fancy trip, you can only talk about the meals that you had and the places that you saw for so long, and then it just becomes kind of something that you did a long time ago. And perhaps you still think of it with some joy, but not as much. Even those amazing gifts that you've received, they just become part of a collection of things that you have in your house. But that first Christmas and that first Christmas gift that was given is so very different from the gifts that we give and we receive each year. For the shepherds saw a different gift. They encountered Jesus. They encountered the Christ come to earth. And he was a different gift that was given all together. The shepherds not only encountered Jesus, but then they knew that it was such a different kind of experience that they had to go and tell everybody that they could about what they had seen and what they had heard, and that everything that they had been told was just as they had been told. Everything that they found was just as they had been told. And so they spread the word about Jesus. They let others know about the hope that they found, in the joy that they found. And that joy and that hope is so much different that you cannot contain it, that you cannot contain it to yourself, but you have to tell others about it. That's what the Christmas story is all about. Sharing that joy, being reminded of the joy and the foundation that we have, not just now, but all throughout the year. 3 decades later, after the birth of Christ, Jesus himself said, "I have told you these things that you may have joy, and that joy in you may be complete." John chapter 15, verse 11. We all taste joy. We all experience hope at some time or another in our lives. Yet how many of you would say here this morning that your joy is complete? Yet Jesus tells us in the scriptures, in the gospel according to John, that he wants for us to have a joy that is complete, a joy that is constantly overflowing, that it is something exuberating itself from us so that other people can see it and experience it, that you are filled with joy, so much so that you can hardly describe it. The shepherd's joy was a result of what God had done. That's the difference in this Christmas story. It's the difference in the kinds of gifts that we give and receive. The first Christmas gift was the best Christmas gift ever given or will ever be given, as God gave to us his one and only begotten Son. Now, I don't know about you, but watching sheep doesn't sound real exciting. Taking care of animals, okay, to a point, but you know, after a while it might get to be work, and work gets kind of dull once in a while, doesn't it? But beyond watching those sheep, these shepherds experienced firsthand a great joy that came into our world, a great joy that was there. The joy that begins for us in the same way that it began with the shepherds, when we receive Jesus into our hearts, when we welcome Jesus into our world once again, that we experience him afresh and anew each and every year. It's when we meet Jesus and we begin a relationship with him and we realize that even in the midst of difficulties and challenges, Jesus is that foundation, which even in the midst of those times can bring about joy from within us, even though we may not be happy, even though we may not seem fully fulfilled. Very few things last forever in this life, right? People try to restore things, but eventually things do not last. They give up. Cars die. Animals are with us for a while. And yet even our loved ones are here for just a short time on earth. Nothing lasts forever on this earth. Yet an encounter with Jesus Christ is life-changing. An encounter with Jesus Christ not only lasts throughout this life when we first meet him, but an encounter with Jesus Christ is lifelong here as well as into the future for all eternity. Jesus did that for us. Jesus made sure that he followed God's plan, that he came to earth so that you and I could experience this joy of heaven, this life filled with abundance and joy overflowing. How is it then that we can have this joy? How is it that we can hope to have a lasting joy? It's by meeting Jesus. And when we meet Jesus, he is the one that shapes our lives. He is the one that transforms our lives. He is the one that has the greatest impact on us in this world. Jesus Christ, he's the one that brings those opportunities for joy. Within the scriptures, we can find many selections that speak about joy. And one of the things I always remember about my mentor and college professor, Dr. Edward Thompson, is when he began a college concert on our choir tours, he would always begin with, "It's a joy to be here." I can hear him saying it as if he were standing right here in front of me today. Every single concert, it's a joy for us to be with you today. Philippians chapter 4:4, Paul speaks about this joy. He says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice." One important part of walking in hope and joy is simply choosing it. Did you ever think about that? To be able to just choose joy. It's a decision that you have to consciously make. You can choose to be unhappy, but you can also choose to be a people that are filled with joy. Much of the hope and joy and rejoicing in the Bible isn't really connected to circumstances, isn't really connected to things. It's connected to a conscious choice that we make, you and I. Let's face it, in fact, one of the keys to life of joy is to rejoice even when circumstances are difficult. When you say this to a person that does not know Jesus, they don't understand. They don't quite get it, how we can, in the midst of grief, in the midst of pain and sorrow and difficult days, financial challenges, relational issues, that in the midst of all that, we as Christians can still rejoice, that we can still find joy even in the midst of that, even though things are disappointing and even painful. But I can tell you from my own experiences, and I know you can too, who are seasoned Christians, that it is in those moments that you realize the most what your Christianity means to you and who Jesus really is to you, and that he's with you during those times of sorrow and pain, those times of regret, those times of struggle, times of unemployment, times of relational challenges, that God is walking with you mostly through those times. But like the shepherds, we can also find that reason to rejoice. Why? Because Christ has come. Amen? Because Christ has come. Christ has come into our hearts and into our world. And we see this gift, the most precious gift in that first Christmas that is given to us by God himself. And then that rejoicing should flow. It should flow out of our hearts and out of that joy. Joy is something that if we realize how it really comes to us, it can never be taken away, no matter what the circumstances. Listen to this verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works together. God works of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God works together for good for all of us, those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. All things, not some things, all things, not most things, all things, everything, good, bad, ugly, and otherwise, God works together for good in all things. So no matter what it is that you're going through, and I know some of you have lost loved ones lately, recently. I know some of you have some ongoing physical challenges. I know some of you have difficult work schedules. I know some that are struggling financially. I know some here that are struggling with relationships. And there are many other reasons and things that we struggle with. And they seem to be amplified during the holiday season, particularly at Christmas. But we can be absolutely certain of at least two things. Number one, either God sent it, or number two, God is going to use it. I believe that God sends for us opportunities to experience joy and happiness in this world. But I also believe, even though God does not send those rough times that I mentioned, you can be assured that he will walk with you through those difficult times. And in the midst of those, you can still experience the joy of Christ, the joy that you have from knowing fellow Christians that will walk along with you, pray along with you, share God's word with you, and encourage you through those times. Whatever it is that you're going through, be assured that God is using all things for good for you who love him. So we can always rejoice, even in the midst of those times. Do you remember a couple of things that the Israelites were known for in the scriptures when they escaped to Egypt? Well, here's what happened. Number one, they built idols, right? Bad thing. We have idols today in our world. Similarly, a bad thing. Another thing that they were known for, though, was complaining. They were known for their complaining. And both of those things are sins. However grousing, however complaining goes, it might be that you want to complain about your spouse. It might be that you want to complain about your children. It might be that you might want to complain about your kids or your kids' teachers. Perhaps at this time of the year, as none other, you grouch about your relatives and the fact that you've got to see them for a few short hours on Christmas Day. Maybe you're griping about your preacher or your church. Yeah, Dave. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the head nod. Yeah, thanks. Good to know. Ah, boy. Tough crowd. No respect. But that rejoicing still comes. That rejoicing can still come even in the midst of that. But complaining steals away our joy. It robs it. It takes it away. So if you're complaining about any of those things or people or situations, stop it. Stop doing it. It's divisive and it's dishonoring to the body of Christ. It's dishonoring to the creation of Christ. And whatever it is that God's trying to teach you in the midst of that crisis, whatever it may be, stop doing it. Because complaining is actually a declaration of war against your own joy. Just think of it. How many of you really like to be around people that are always complaining about something? Let's just see. How many? I don't see any hands out there. We have also a wonderful example in the scriptures about a person who sinned greatly. Has an interesting first name by the name of David. This David had an affair in the Bible with Bathsheba. She wasn't innocent, by the way. But David was taken in by Bathsheba and had an affair with her. And then he arranged for her husband to be on the front lines of the battle and to be killed. David had remorse about that. And so he said to the Lord, he wrote these words in the Psalms. My sin is always before me. Against you, O God, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. But I think the high point of this passage of Scripture comes later in the verse 12, just a few verses down, when David prays, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Some of us here today need to pray that prayer. Even those good, solid Christians who think they've got it all together sometimes come across as grouches. We need to be praying that prayer, that others, when they see us, don't see us as those judgmental Christians who have everything together and know all the right scriptures, that know all the right prayers, but don't have joy in the midst of all of that, and to share that with other people. We should pray that prayer, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." So I'm going to pause right now, and I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray this short prayer, and you just pray it along with me in your hearts. Let's pray. Lord, restore to us the joy of your salvation. Make our joy complete as it is found in you alone and cannot be taken from us. What hope we have in you! Help us to see the great joy that the shepherds witnessed that night. Amen. Joy can be easily stolen from us. Someone once told me that you can't allow anybody to take anything from your personal bank account unless you sign off on it. This is true. The same thing applies to our emotional bank account, if you will. Unless we give someone the authority to take our joy from us, they shouldn't be able to take it away without our permission and our willingness to go along with it. The first thing that we notice about David in this scripture passage is that he realigns himself with Jesus. He realigns himself to God. He prays to God. He's repentant of his sin. He realizes that he's made a mistake. Our sin, our very own sin, you think about it, it could provide some temporary pleasure. It might give you some momentary relief of a situation. It might even give you just a little bit of happiness. But we all know in the end that we feel guilty. And when we feel that way, our joy is robbed. We've given something away. We've given that joy away, and it is taken from us, and it crushes our joy. If you want to have a life that's filled with joy, meet Jesus. Accept him into your heart, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and do things God's way. When you think of Christians, what do you think about? You don't have to answer out loud, but when you think of Christians, what do you think about? I can tell you as a pastor, over 30 years now, 35 years, that when I think of Christians, I have a wide range of people that I think about. I think of people that have literally torn churches apart because of music, because of power, because of authority. I think about sweet little old ladies who pray and are proud and watch their son who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but beam with joy as he sang from his heart to tell others of the love of Christ that he had. I think of a woman who sang like a prima donna, and she knew it, and everybody else knew it too because she told them so. I think about churches that try, that want to serve, that love each other and care about each other, even though they may be smaller in number. I think about people that are filled with joy. I think about people that should be filled with joy. Perhaps you can think of some of the same things. I think about people that are completely judgmental and point the finger at many others. Our world needs people that love them and accept them and and lead them to Christ and an understanding of their sin, so that they too, like the shepherds, can run to Jesus and see that message of hope and joy that Jesus provides. I hope that you can find people in your life that are like that. I have to admit this morning, and I know this is true for you too, life is hard. Life is not easy. It's difficult when we're young, when we're trying to go to school and grow up in our adolescent years. It's difficult when we move away. It's difficult when we have our families and we're trying to get started and we don't have 2 cents to rub together. It's difficult to watch our children and adolescents when they're growing up and they make mistakes and they do things to embarrass themselves and our families. It's difficult when we grow older and our loved ones begin to become ill and they die. We mourn their loss and the memory that we have of them. Life is hard, life is difficult. And yet, even in the midst of that, it was Jesus who said, "If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Jesus is the one who can set us free from all those things. And yes, while life is hard and we have to go through those things, He is with us in the midst of it. And we can still have joy knowing that He is with us. So let's live a life like we are loved. Let's live a life that is filled with joy. Let's live a life that is filled with praise. Let us remember to rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice in the Lord always. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this gift that is unlike any other gift that has ever been given. Thank you for sending your Son to save us from our sins. We forget what a wonderful and amazing gift our salvation really is. Restore the joy of our salvation. Fill us with hope and joy this Christmas season, a joy so complete and so overflowing that we, like the shepherds, are compelled to share it with others. We are thankful for the certainty of heaven that we have because of Jesus. But until that day, like the shepherds, we'll choose to glorify and praise you. We will continue to rejoice in who you are and in all that you have done. We thank you and we praise you. All it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 175, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." Perhaps you're here today and this message by the Holy Spirit pierced your heart, made you think twice about where you're at in life, who you want to be, who God's called you to be. If God has spoken to you by His Word, feel free to come up, rededicate your life to Christ. Come up for prayer. Come up to unite with this church, or your desire to be baptized by immersion. If God has spoken to you, let that joy overflow this morning. Don't hide it, but let others see the joy that God has brought to us this Christmas season and every day. Let's stand together as we sing.